Hey, Regeneration, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I am in recovery from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort in alcohol. Good to be with you tonight. I'm so glad you're here. If you're here for the first time tonight, I'm especially grateful you're here. You may not have realized this yet, but you've come to the right place, and we're really glad to be with you. I don't know about you, but I'm always awkward in social situations, especially when you don't know people. And what I really don't like are icebreaker games. Anybody actually like icebreaker games? Some of you do. Okay, maybe that's why you're here in recovery. We'll figure that out later. Maybe that's why I'm here in recovery. Of all the icebreaker games, I generally don't like them, but I especially don't like two truths and a lie. There's just not that much about me that's true, that's interesting. So the lie is always obvious. You know, hey, Dave, I'm bald, I wear glasses, and I'm president of the United States. Well, which one is it? That kind of a thing. Tonight, we're going to look at a passage of scripture that actually speaks about us, and it's the inverse of two truths and a lie. It's two lies and a truth. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 John 1. We're going to begin in verse 5, and we're going to look about two things that we might think, that we might feel, that we might see about ourselves that are actually lies and one thing that's true. Now, if you're joining us for the first time tonight, again, welcome. If you've been off and on, glad you're here. If you've been here for a while, we are working through the biblical foundations of the 12 steps that make up regeneration. And tonight we're going to talk about step 5, which is confession. So let's work through this text, two lies and a truth. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Before we get into the two lies and truth, I want you to see something that's said about God here that's so profound. In this text, John, who writes this letter, says, God is light. When you think about God being light, I want you to think in essence and in effect. When we say God is light, we mean he's absolutely pure. He's perfect light. He's holy. He is perfect, he is pure, he is without blemish, he is without stain. He is God and God is light. But also there's the effect of God enlightening us about himself. So God loves to reveal himself to us. So the idea is God is pure, God is holy, God makes himself known to us. And if we live in a way that's inconsistent from him, there's some issues we have to deal with. Here's the first lie, if you're keeping track of lies. First one tonight is simply this. If you say, I have a close relationship with God, but my life is characterized by sin, that's a lie. If you're here tonight, you say, I have a very close relationship with God. I have a close relationship with him, but my life is characterized by sin. According to the text, that's not true. To say that I know God, but yet remain in the darkness is to deceive yourself. The truth is not in you. Now, let me tell you what I mean by characterized by sin. I don't mean that you sin once in a while. I mean that your life, if you looked at the balance of it, is most predominantly defined by sin and not obedience to Jesus and faith. I was out front at the welcome desk a few weeks ago, and I've gotten to know a participant here that I really enjoy getting to know. And he came up with me. He came up to talk to me, and he wanted to share something with me. And he said, Dave, I thought I'd been a Christian my whole life. He said, I got recently to step 2 and 3. Step 2, if you recall, if you've not been there, I'll preview it for you. Step 2 is about believing Jesus is who he said he is. Step 3 is about personally trusting him. And he said, after I made it through step 3, I realized really all I had about God was head knowledge. And now I've trusted him with my heart. And now for the first time in my life, I can be totally honest about all my sin and all my brokenness. And I'm not worried about the consequences. That's the reverse of this lie. Right, the lie is, I've got this close relationship with God, but I continually walk in sin. I'm not making any progress in my life against the battle of sin. There's deception in that. Now look at the second lie, because the second lie is actually the opposite of the first lie. The second lie is this idea that I have no sin, or I have not sinned in any way. Second lie is simply this: I have a close relationship with God, so my life is clear of all sin. We see this in verse 7 when it says we see this in verse 8, if we say we have no sin. The idea is there's no such thing as sin. Sin isn't a thing. There's really no principle of sin, especially for those of us who are Christians, and the idea is you're lying to yourself. If, though, in verse 10, you say, I've not sinned at any time, at any point in my life, then not only are you deceiving yourself, you're actually saying something stronger. You're calling God out to be a liar. There's someone I've been very close to in my life, and he was reflecting on decades of walking with Jesus, and then he said something that really, really surprised me. He said at one point in time, as I look back over my life, I think I've sinned 3 times. I was like, really? Wow. Because right now I can count 3 sins. You're lying to God, you're lying to yourself, and you're lying to me. Like there's 3 right now. Have you ever met anybody? Maybe you find yourself in this space tonight where you say, I don't know. I can't see anything wrong. My relationship with God is so close. Sin's just not an option for me. I never sin. If you say that, you go one step further than lying to yourself. You're actually claiming that God himself is lying. It's a heavy thing to do, isn't it? That's a weighty thing to do. So where do we find the truth? If those are the two lies, where does the truth come in? Here's the true statement. Ready for this? Here's the truth. I have a close relationship with God, so I confess the sin in my life. The truth is this. I have a close relationship with God, so I confess the sin in my life. Back to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the good news tonight. I'm glad you hung with me this long after we got past those two lies, especially if you're here for the first time tonight. Here's the good news. The good news is something we refer to as the gospel. That's what gospel means, is good news. Here's the good news. Jesus lived the life that you and I can't live. Perfectly obedient to God the Father. He did live the perfect life, clear of all sin. Jesus then went as our perfect substitute, our blameless substitute, and he died in our place on the cross so that the sin in our life, the penalty may be paid for and the power may be broken in our life. And here's the best news. After Jesus was buried, 3 days later, he rose physically, bodily from the grave, and he is the right hand of God the Father. And God, because of who he is and what he did, the Bible says here that it's the sin of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And who he is faithful and just. When we own up to our sin, when we're honest to God about our sin, when we're honest with ourselves and others about our sin, then we experience in fresh new ways a closeness to God as we experience the forgiveness of our sin through the person and work of Jesus. Doesn't that sound good to you tonight? Here's what step 5 is all about. Let me define it for you real quick, and then I'll show you how it works in life. Step 5, confess, simply says this. We confess to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our sins. When was the last time you confessed your sin? I had an experience just this past week. I have about a 15-minute commute here to Watermark every day, and so I found it's perfect time to listen to sermons, especially if I put them at double speed, which they sound weird, but I still pick up the high points. And I was listening to a John Piper sermon. It caught my attention because the title of the sermon was Happy Pastors Make Healthy Churches. I thought, okay, I want to be a happy leader in this ministry and I want this ministry to be healthy. I'm going to listen to this. And then Piper said something I really didn't like. He said this. He said, as Christians, we don't move towards comfort. We move towards needs. That's who we are as Christians. It's in our DNA. And when I heard that, I felt conviction. And I began to argue with myself and maybe even God. You ever do that? And I said, wait, no, you've got the wrong number today, because I'm going to reach it, right? I'm not going to a comfortable place. I want to serve others. I want to be honest and open about things. I don't think my life is about comfort at all. And then I stopped and I thought and I paused and I realized it's exactly what my life has become about. It's become about comfort is in many different areas. You can even look at the sins that I talk about, that I'm in recovery from, that the sin of pornography in many ways is about comfort. The sin of seeking alcohol is about comfort. Even as I've wrestled through recovery from PTSD, my life has become about comfort. Even here, even in ministry opportunities, I can hand off, Zig and Sierra can affirm this, the more difficult assignments because I feel like I'm entitled to comfort. So in that moment, I confessed my sin. I was honest with God and said, yep, you're right. You're right. I'm no longer about the needs of others. I've become a lot about my own comfort. I was honest with myself. I no longer try to defend myself. And then later that week, we had our first staff regeneration step group. And as I met with the members of my group, I was honest and said, hey guys, I need help. I'm really struggling with comfort right now. Have you experienced the joy and freedom that comes from confessing your sin? Let's do this right here, right now. I want you just to be quiet before the Lord. If you feel comfortable doing this, close your eyes. And I simply want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you the sin in your life right now. Would you do that with me? Just be quiet for a minute. Let's ask him to speak. If the Holy Spirit has showed you sin, or you're already aware of the sin that you came with tonight, would you confess it now? The way you do that is you simply agree with God that he's right. That's what confession means. You don't need to say anything out loud, but just in the privacy and the intimacy of your own heart in relationship with God, would you just agree with God that he's right about your sin? Would you do that now? If you're here tonight, and you're trusting in Jesus alone, that he is who he says he is, and it's through his life, his death, his resurrection that you are not only forgiven of sin, but you're freed from sin, would you celebrate the fact that according to this text tonight, because you confessed your sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That promise is yours tonight. Now, would you do me one more favor tonight before you leave? Would you share with somebody else, someone you trust, maybe someone in your step group, maybe someone in your groundwork group, maybe you're here tonight as a first-time guest, you have an opportunity a little bit later, would you share that with someone else? Would you confess that sin to someone else? Here's the good news. We're forgiven. We're freed. And as you and I learn to be honest with God and each other about our sin, we agree with him, we experience in fresh ways a close relationship with him as we focus in on the person and work of Jesus. And because of Jesus, we're not only forgiven from our sin, we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's good news, isn't it?